Thanks, Brooke. Can you hear me okay tonight? Okay. All right. Well, then I'm just going to ignore what I'm seeing on my screen and try to imagine you all there. My name is Carrie, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. My own group is the New Horizons Group in beautiful Bend, Oregon, and I am living in the growth steps of 10, 11, and 12. We've been doing this for a while. Before we get into step six and seven, which we're starting on the top of page 76, that's where we left off last week. And I'm going to get right in because we got a lot to cover tonight. But before we do, and I know I said this last week too, but this is a really important piece of the book that I don't want to contradict anybody's sponsor. So I just want to say it. To clear my name real quick, if I say something tonight that your sponsor says otherwise, your sponsor is right and I'm wrong, do what your sponsor says. So again, as a reminder, I am a big book literalist. I've been doing this for a little bit. I'm 13 years sober. You're going to hear some things in the next couple of paragraphs that maybe you haven't heard before. And so I just want to qualify that with saying, in the front of the big book where it gives all those statistics, right? Of like, oh, well, out of this many people, this many stayed sober. And then, the first time, 50%. And then the second time they came back and then 75 stayed sober and all those statistics, which I don't really care for because how do they know? Like I've never really liked statistics in AA, but I can speak from my own personal experience and where it says, where it says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. That is my personal experience. So it's not a statistic. I'm going to throw some numbers out there, and I'm pretty sure they're pretty accurate. I've been praying about this today. So I've sponsored a lot of people. I have taken a lot of people through this work. And I would say that there's been probably 200 people who have called me a sponsor in my 13 years sober, almost 14. And in that time, and these are just facts, these aren't my opinions. And they're not statistics, they're my own experience. In that time, there's probably been, I would say, 50, no more than 60 fifth steps that I've heard, right? So women who have gotten to this place in the book, right? Because we're just coming off of the fifth step, we're going into six and seven. That's where we are tonight. And I would say, out of those, the 50 to 60, and we'll just for the sake of just given the extra, we'll go to 50. Let's say 50 people. I have heard 50 fifth steps. Probably closer to 60, but I'm just going to say I've heard about 50 fifth steps. And out of those people that I've heard their fifth steps, I would say half of them have made it all the way through the ninth step, living in steps 10, 11, and 12. And actually, while practicing 10, 11, and 12, literally finished their ninth step. I would say 25 people minimally. Out of those 25, so far, it's just my own experience, one has drank. One. So if we're looking at the actual numbers, my experience, right? Not my opinion. I would say one out of 25 people who have thoroughly followed this path, I would call that rare. So my experience is that's true. Rarely have we seen a person fail. One out of 25, my personal experience. And so I tell you those numbers because I don't want to make anything up, right? And I don't want to add any words to this process, and I don't want to take anything out. So you're going to hear some things tonight that maybe you haven't heard before, and that's just a heads up. So here we go. Coming out of the fifth step, right? We get home and we have an hour to do six and seven that day after the fifth step. So step six, top of page 76, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. We are now ready to let God remove from us, let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable. Can he now take all of them? Everyone? If we cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. Now, for me, in that hour, because remember, on the previous page, it tells us how long we have to do this, right? It says, returning home from our fifth step, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, right? So, what are we going to be doing in that quiet time for an hour? Meditation is thoughtful contemplation. So, what are we going to contemplate, right? So, I take my notes out from my fifth step, my notes out, right, from my inventory, and I contemplate those things in which I find objectionable, my character defects. It's like, and I'm going to pray about them, right? I'm going to pray about, I'm going to go down the list. And when I feel one and I'm like, ooh, I'm not ready to let that go. No, that one's working for me. That is when it says, if we cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us become willing, right? So I can go down that list, feel how it feels. And when I get to one that's like, oh, I can feel that. That's the one that I pray to God to help me to become willing to let that go, right? That's where I can pray for the willingness to be willing. After I've given that some time, I go down my sex list. I can pray those the sex prayers, ask what I could have done differently, what I should have maybe done instead. I go down the resentments. I can say the sick friend prayer with any name on my resentment list that I still kind of feel, right? I still kind of go, ooh, I can feel that one. So I can go to page 67, top of page 67. I can pray, you know. So I'm kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's in my sixth step when I'm quiet for an hour, getting ready to take all that and offer it to God. When ready, now I'm going into step seven. When ready, we say something like this: my creator. And for me, I got down on my knees. I did what my sponsor said. And after I had that prayerful contemplation of my fifth step, of all of the things I have found objectionable, of all of my character defects, after I've prayed for the willingness to become willing, when I'm ready, and for me, it was 45 minutes. I told you guys that last night. I almost made it an hour, but I didn't. So, 45 minutes, I got down on my knees, and this is the prayer that I said, and it's right out of the book. It says, "My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen." Now I'm going to point a couple of things out. First, you know, after I did my seventh step, my character defects didn't just disappear right away. And I was very, I didn't get immediately resentful with God. I was frustrated pretty immediately because I expected these things to just be removed, right? And a couple of years later, I started to get my frustration started to grow into a resentment with God. Why? Because I had my character defects. I was ready to let God remove them. In fact, I even had a God box that I was putting specific character defects in and telling God, these are the ones that need removed. And I was telling him that they needed removed now. Take them now, right? And I didn't understand why they weren't disappearing. And I was starting to think, okay, AA doesn't work. This is not working. Like, I still have these character defects. And I was asked to speak at this conference that I look up to this conference. It was, I mean, huge. I loved the other speakers that spoke at the conference. And after praying about it, I had to decline the invite. And I was in tears about it. And I know that that doesn't seem like a big deal to some, and it shouldn't, but it meant a lot to me. And I had to decline the invite. And I went to the meeting and I was crying to my sponsor, and I was telling her, I'm like, Beth, I had to decline the invite to the such and such conference. And she's like, why? And I said, because I have these character defects still that just are all over the place, and they're rendering me ineffective. Like, I come off arrogant. I come off, you know, and I listed all of my character defects that God has not seen fit to remove, right? That today I understand is passion. And although I'm not, you know, a lot of people can't hear me, some do. And those ones that do are maybe the ones that God is still using my character defects to get through. And I don't know, you know, maybe God is throwing me in front of the bus and, you know, sacrificing some people and the way they think about me so that he can get through to the people that he hadn't been able to get through to. I don't know. I don't know. And nor is it my business. I just know that she took me back to this step while I was in tears. And we opened this book, and the wording changed this day. The wording changed. No longer did this paragraph say, which is what I heard in my head for so long. No longer did this paragraph say, this is what I thought it said. My creator, I am now willing to start working on my character defects. I am ready for you to remove this list of what I think I need removed and when. And why aren't you doing it when I said to do it, right? And no wonder. I don't get to pick what's bad, what's good. I get to admit what's objectionable. I get to give God the good and the bad. And then it says, I pray that you now remove every single defect of character. And there's no period behind defect of character. It continues to say, which stand in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. If God is still using a certain character defect of mine, who am I to tell him that he can't, right? I don't get to run the show today. And as frustrating as that is, once I fully surrendered to this step, once I got down on my knees with my sponsor in the bathroom at my home group and took this step, not just said it, remarkable things happened. What happened? The character defects that I had been begging God to take away from me, that I had been telling him which ones needed to go and when. Some of them didn't go away. Some of them still haven't gone away. But I can tell you what did happen. All of a sudden, when I stopped working on my character defects, when I gave God everything, the good and the bad, and just turned my sights to someone I can help and got out the hell out of the way, working with with other people, God was able to come in and start working on me in ways that I had never imagined possible. All of a sudden, I had calls, not even 2 months later. I'm talking 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later. I'm having calls from people who are telling me, are you doing something different? Because this blankety blank that you used to do, you're not doing anymore. I didn't even know that those were defects. I didn't even know that I was doing anything to offend people. Those aren't the things I was demanding for God to remove, but those are the things that needed to be removed. And the things that I still find objectionable, I have to accept that will be removed in God's time, not mine. I don't get to work on my character defects. If I could remove my own character defects, why wouldn't I have done it years ago? Right? And so that's why this paragraph and the way it ends is so important. And that's why I don't like to stop at the prayer. I like to finish the line. And I'm going to show you a magic trick, right? I'm going to insert in everybody's big book a line that's never been there before. This is a magic trick. Ready? This comes after the prayer. We have then completed step seven, ED. I'm done with step seven. I don't get to work on my character defects. I took the step. And as Wayne H says, you can't keep taking them. I took these steps, past tense. Thank God the principles of step six and seven are in step 10. Are in steps 10 and 11. Thank God that I get to practice these principles in all of my affairs, but I don't get to work on my character defects. I don't get to tell God what to do and when to do it. Not even when it relates to me. So moving on to steps 8 and 9, we need more action. Oh, that's a surprise in a program of action. Without which we find that faith without works is dead, right? What does that mean? Faith without works is dead. We've been over this over and over again, but I'm going to say it one last time. Faith without works is dead means talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is, right? Like, it's great that you're a grateful alcoholic, right? You're grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, what are you doing for Alcoholics Anonymous, right? You're so sorry that you hurt these people. Okay, what are you willing to do to make up for the harms done, right? Put your money where your mouth is. That's what faith without works is dead means. Talk is cheap. So let's look at steps 8 and 9. Now, we know that we're on steps 8 and 9 because of the squiggly lines, right? They don't hide these steps from us. It says steps 8 and 9 in italics. So we have a list of all persons we've harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. This is step four, right? Now, we go out to our fellows and we repair the damage done in the past. Now, that's the first thing that it's going to call the damage done in the past. And I already, we pointed out and we highlighted in step four all of the ways that it says all the different ways that it doesn't say my part, right? It says the damage done, my harms done, my wrongs, my mistakes, but it doesn't say my part. So we attempt to sweep off the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. So this debris on, we'll call it my side of the street, it's accumulated from years of not taking self-appraisal, from years of not cleaning up after myself, right? It's accumulated. So that tells me that I probably don't have to take a steps 8 and 9 again either, unless I fall short on 10, 11, and 12 and that pile starts accumulating again. And we'll talk about that when we get on to step 10. We'll actually talk about that process in great depth. But for now, we want to clean up the wreckage of our past. We want to clean up the damage done of our drinking history. So if we haven't the will to do this, Again, we ask until it comes, right? We pray for the willingness to become willing, which is a theme around this right in the middle of the steps. Because again, it's going to remind us over and over again. It even says, remember, the next line says, remember, it was agreed upon at the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Now, notice that it's continuing to say victory over alcohol. It continues to talk about alcohol and getting over our quote drinking until we're on 10, 11, and 12. That's when it starts talking about our thinking, not our drinking. Right now, just going into 8 and 9, I'm still not a recovered alcoholic, right? I still have an alcoholic mind. I still might not be over my drinking. I might even still be having some slips. I don't know. So in this paragraph, which is more step 8 than step 9, and now we're going to go into step 9, and I'm going to blow through step 9. But in this paragraph, step 8, it's like, well, what is the difference between 8 and 9? Where does it come in? Well, step 8 is two parts, right? It is we listed the people we've hurt, and then we become willing to set right our wrongs. Is that it's probably not that's probably not what it says. But anyway, that's what step 8 is. And so we listed the people we'd harmed in our harms done, right? In our fourth step. So we have that list, and now we become willing to set right our wrongs. So for me, what I do with prospects are I let you divide your 8-step list up into, if you want to keep it in one list, keep it in one list. I'm not telling you what to do because those aren't clear-cut instructions in the big book, but I have some experience of what has worked for others, and I offer this experience. So there's a your or you can make two lists, or you can make three lists. So what would these lists consist of? Well, the easy list, like the list of, oh my God, I've been, really needing to clean this mess up. I can't wait to make amends. It's been eating at me this whole time. I'm finally on my 9th step and I want to go make this right. Okay, that list is easy. Let's put that list down as list one, right? And then we have this list, the second part of your 8-step list, which is like, ugh, yes, I know I need to probably make amends to this person. This is not going to be fun, and I really don't want to, but I know I need to do it. And then the third list, which is, oh, hell no, they owe me an amends, right? Ain't nobody going to make amends to that person, and that's just not going to happen. So those are three lists. And that's okay if you have some people on that third list, even if it's just one person, it's okay. Let's make the list anyways. Marianne says she has that person. let's make those three lists anyway, right? And so why I break it down that the 8-step list into three lists is because when we're, so I suggest to the people I take through is write out your amends to three people, easy people, right? And then come back and we'll go over them, and we'll make sure that to dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure that you have a good a good solid amends, and there's not frothy emotional appeal, and you're not saying I'm sorry, and you're not trying to win back all this stuff, right? And I do have a format, I have a formula, I have a 5-point formula directly derived from the big book. So if anybody wants it, feel free to email me or send me a text, and I'll text that to you. But so we got that first list, and while we're working on that, and I send you out to write three amends, which is still just your 8th step. You're just becoming willing, right? You're not actually going to go execute it. So we're still just on your 8th step. Then you come back and we go over that, those three, and then I send you out to actually execute those. And in that next week or that next chunk of time, you're also going to be making another three rough drafts, another three 8 list. I'm going to be becoming willing to make amends, right? And what happens is while you're working on that first list, all of a sudden, well, quite frankly, before we're halfway through, these 9th step promises start happening, right? And these things start, like, you start feeling good, and the fear of people and economic insecurity start to leave, and it's like, this is gold. Like, I'm getting some stuff, right? I'm getting, and sometimes the feeling of drinking is gone, and you're like, you're recovering, right? And so in that process, it's like, oh, this is good stuff. And then all of a sudden, that second list, it don't look so bad no more. It doesn't look so bad. It's like, I'm almost running out of my first set of amends, and I'm ready to do some more. And now that second list doesn't look so bad. When we start executing some people out of that second list, the ninth step promises are materializing. And that third list starts looking doable. And that's been my experience. That's been my experience. So, how do you make the amends? Oh man, this chapter gives so much clear-cut instructions. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm going to go through some of the different amends that we have, because we have a business amends. Business associates. We have the man we hate. We have financial amends, legal amends, ex-spousal amends. We got domestic. We got a man who is dead or unreachable. We got the family amends. We have all of these different amends that are each treated a little bit differently, but the big book shows us which ones to do what. So the first paragraph. We'll just get into this first paragraph. It's a good one. Probably there are still some misgivings as we look over the list of business acquaintances. Okay, so this first one, I have my notes say business acquaintances off to the side at the top of page 77. The paragraph starts at the bottom of page 76. So probably there are still some misgivings as we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt. We may feel defiant about going to some of them on a spiritual diffident. Diffident, defiant, well, it doesn't matter. On a spiritual basis, let's be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on the first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. That is our real purpose here in Alcoholics Anonymous. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, right? And if we're that our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. We don't want to ruin an opportunity to be of service. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. That's it. No frothy emotional appeal, no empty promises, no, I'm gonna, I should have, I would have. Nope. Just a sincere desire to set right the wrong. What can I do to make it? What can I do to make this right? He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. Again, talk is cheap. What are you willing to do? I don't care what you're willing to say. No, don't say I'm sorry. I heard I'm sorry forever. We don't use, this is called, this paragraph is the man we hate. All right. So I would imagine that this paragraph is how we make amends to the people on our first, on our resentment list, right? So we don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God when it will serve any purpose. We are willing to announce our convictions with tact and with common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hate will or hated will arise. It may be he has done more, it may be he has done us more harm than we've done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we're still not so keen about admitting our faults. This is the third column guy, right? Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, or not third column, third part of the amends list, third part of the eight step list. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend. That's true. But we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feelings and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. I have under no condition do we criticize highlighted. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over our drinking. See, that's why you can't take another ninth step when you're 20 years sober. You've gotten over your drinking. Like the 10th step amends is much different than the ninth step amends. The 10th step inventory is much different than the fourth step inventory. The 10th step is for continuing to take inventory, continuing to set right the wrongs as we go along. One through nine, past tense. We have now completed step seven, past tense. Simply, we tell him that we can never get over our drinking until we've done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults, here's another highlight. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. How many times does it need to tell us that over and over again? And it's because I write an amends and I want to say, I did this because you did this. And I'm sorry that I reacted to your terrible personality, right? Like, I can't, that's not an amends. And so it has to reiterate it for somebody like me over and over and over and over again. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In nine cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we're calling upon admits his own faults. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration and done our part. It's water over the dam or under the bridge, whatever you prefer. Most alcoholics owe money. This is the financial amends. My notes say financial amends on this part of the process. So most alcoholics owe money. That's shocking. We do not dodge our creditors, telling them what we are trying to do. We make no bones about our drinking. They usually know anyway whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory that it may cause financial harm. I've had some sponsees say, "Well, I shouldn't be saying that I'm an alcoholic in this amends because that's breaking my anonymity." No, nope, no, it's not breaking your anonymity. Unless you are going to publish this amends in the media, it is not breaking our public relation policy. So, you mean it might be affecting your ego, maybe your pride, but don't use a tradition as an excuse not to tell someone that you're a drunk. Like, you don't get to do that. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we're sorry. Now, notice how this says we're sorry, right? And in a page or two, we're going to see where it says to not say we're sorry. It's because one amends to one person is not the same as, like, right now, it's financial amends. So a credit card company, you haven't been telling your whole life, "I'm so sorry, I won't do it again. I'm so sorry this happened again," right? The family, they don't want to hear "I'm sorry" because you've been doing that forever. Your kids, they don't want to hear I'm sorry. They want to see the action. The credit card company, you don't even know them. So you can say I'm sorry because that's what they're going to want to hear, right? And so that's why it's so for me, so important to differentiate one amends from the next. So that with the financial creditor, you can say I'm sorry and then show them with a check, right? You're enclosing a check. Like, that's putting your money literally where your mouth is. So, our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go. For we are liable to drink if we're afraid to face them. This next paragraph, the next two paragraphs are called legal amends. All right. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense, which might land us in jail if it were known to the authorities. We may be short of our account and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person, but we are sure we would be imprisoned or lose our job if it were to be known. Maybe it's only a padding, maybe it's only petty offense such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we're divorced and have remarried, but haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She's indignant about it. I'm sure I'm not saying that word right either. And is warned, has a warrant out for our arrest. That's a common form of trouble too, I would say so. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves, and it's going to remind us again, that we have decided to go to any length to find spiritual experience. We ask another prayer, right? Every time it says we ask that it be given strength, that we've been given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. I'm not going to pick on women's meetings. I'm trying to get off of that because I'm sure there's a good one out there somewhere. But I know that for me, I've heard one too many times, and I won't say where or what type of meeting, the ninth step is that we make amends 50. I don't want to misquote. Hang on. This is what I've heard. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And you are others. I am one of those others. No, that's not what this is. That's not what this is. This says we are sure we would be imprisoned or lose our job if it were known. But we have to be willing. Except for when to do so would injure them or others, including myself. No, this says no matter what the personal consequence may be. It says we may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. I'm not one of the others that I have to look out for. I don't get to put myself on my ninth step either. Selfish and self-centeredness is the root of my problems. What the hell am I doing putting myself on my ninth step? How I make amends to myself is I turn my thoughts to other people and get the hell away from myself. That's how I make amends to myself. I don't put myself on my ninth step. Ugh. Ex-spouse. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we're not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. How many times are they going to tell us this, right? A man we know had remarried, but because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to the court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life. He secured a position and was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he would have walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." Now, we thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary, right? Being willing to go to any lengths for victory over alcohol, no matter what the personal consequences may be. But if he were in jail, he could provide nothing for either family. What a conundrum. Well, we suggested he write his first wife, admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. I have asking forgiveness highlighted because in my 5-point process that I use on an amends, every word of it comes from our literature. Every word of it comes from this chapter. And they're just copy and pastes, right? And so the first thing that what an amends looks like when I help you with an amends, the first thing is I owe you an amends, dot, dot, dot. So why does it say dot, dot, dot in phase one of the amends? Dot, dot, dot means because there's 8 different types of amends, right? So each one of them is going to require me to say something different. Like how I'm going to start an amends to my child or my husband, as far as I owe you an amends, is going to look a little bit different than to a creditor, is going to look a little bit different than to a home group member, right? Like I'm going to go to somebody that I used to work with or go to school with years ago, and I'm going to say, I'm an alcoholic and I'm trying to get my life back together. And I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And part of the process for me to not drink again is to make up for harms done. And you are someone I owe an amends to. Now, I'm not going to go to somebody in my home group and say, I'm an alcoholic. As part of my amends process, they're going to know what I'm doing when I say, hey, I owe you an amends, right? So there, it's going to sound a little different, that first point. And that's why I say, I owe you an amends, dot, 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 is because some people don't know what an amends is. Some people do. You want to disclose a little bit more to some people, and some people you don't, right? Depending on which one of these amends. Number two always looks the same. Bullet point two is always the specifics. The specifics of my harm done. Bullet point three is always the same. The exact nature of my wrongs. I'll give you an example. The specifics is I took $284.50 out of the cash register. The exact nature of that wrong, bullet point three, is I was selfish, self-centered, inconsiderate, dishonest, right? The exact nature. So the defects that affected me when I was doing the specifics, right? So a specific bullet point two would be, I flirted with your boyfriend or something like that, right? Bullet point three would be, I was not, I was untrustworthy. I was selfish. I was inconsiderate of your feelings. Like all, so that's the difference between the specific and the exact nature of my wrong. And then bullet point four is what I'm doing to make up for it. Here's the $285.50, or what I have done is because I lied about you, I went to so and so and so and so, and I admitted the truth. And that's what I've done to make up for it. And then in number five, it says asking forgiveness. Now, I ask forgiveness in number five, which means I don't plead, right? And we'll go over that in a minute. I just simply say, I hope that you can forgive me. Is there anything more that you would like to say to me? Anything I left out or anything more I can do? But my hope for their forgiveness is not a begging for them to forgive me. It's a, I hope that you can forgive me because I don't want somebody who's been carrying around a resentment about me to continue having to carry that around. I want to offer them forgiveness for them. Not because I think that I deserve to be forgiven. It's because I hope for them that they no longer have to carry around the poison that I've planted in them from what I've done. That's why I hope that they can forgive me. He did, and also a small amount of money. Well, that's what we just went over. So anyway, this is the financial amends, or the ex-spousal. So before this drastic action was taken, okay, I'm running out of time. Oh my goodness. Oh no. I love this story. I'm gonna have to skip it. Okay, so page 81, domestic or spousal. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm gonna have to skip all the way to 82, which is family. Family, my highlights in family are wife and parents, mothers and wives. I got to read this part, so I might go over a little bit tonight. So if we have no such complications, there is plenty we should do at home. So they're talking about this is going to be the family. This one, page 82. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is to keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he's yet a long way from making good to the wife and parents for whom years he has so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding is the patient mothers and wives, patients, mothers and wives have had with alcoholics. He had this not been so, many of us would have had no homes today, would perhaps be dead. The alcoholic is like a tornado, roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken. Sweet relationships are dead. Affections have been uprooted. Selfishness and inconsiderate habits. And I have those two things highlighted because a lot of the time, those two words go into my amends. I've been selfish and inconsiderate. Those are big ones for me. Have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He's like the farmer who came up out of the cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here. Ma, ain't it grand? The wind stopped blowing." Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. And here's my highlight. When it comes to family, okay, a remorseful mumbling that we're sorry won't fit the bill at all. They have been hearing that you're sorry over and over and over again. That is not a word they want to hear in an actual amends. They won't fit the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, and this is just so reiterated through this whole chapter. But the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with our family, asking again, that's a prayer each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, highlight tolerance, highlight kindliness, highlight and love. I love that prayer. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it, right? Because faith without works is dead. Talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. Unless one's family expresses a drive to live upon spiritual principles, a desire, sorry, not drive, we think it, we ought to not to in, urge them. We should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. That's another highlight. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. Again, talk is cheap. Again, faith without works is dead. Again, put your money where your mouth is. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. Man who's dead or unreachable, there may be wrong, some wrongs that we can never fully make right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would write them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter, and if there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases, but we don't delay if it can be avoided. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. We don't beg for forgiveness, right? As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. I hope you can forgive me. Not please forgive me. Not, oh, I hope someday you, no. I hope that you can forgive me. What more can I do to clean up my mess? I'm gonna stop at the ninth step promises because I'm out of time. Next week we will pick up on that, and I am willing to stay and answer questions after Brooke closes us out today because we did go over. Thanks.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.